I've been watching that new SBS show, New Gold Mountain.
Yeah, that's
Gold Mountain.
I wouldn't have thought I would have watched it, but I've watched it, and I know that you studied
Australian history.
Yeah,
I got an A in Australian history in HSC. Whatever, who cares?
Yeah, so yeah, you're the man. You can test this.
I'm fact checking it the whole way. Yeah, fact checking. I'm no expert, but I've been really enjoying it and watching it with the kids too because it's got a historical.
Oh, no,
element.
I really enjoy it. I think it's great. I think the performances of the lead guy is really good, and
he's good.
Yeah.
Alison Bell's excellent in it. She's the governor's wife.
She's very good. Very good.
She's very good. And Rhys Muldoon's the governor.
Yeah,
he's a governor, and he's very good too. They're all good.
They're all good, and it's well shot. And it sounds like we're just
begs the question: why isn't Glenn Robbins in it? Why aren't you playing an? You could play an Asian person. I kind of, you know. Bit of makeup, come on!
And end your career in one role.
I couldn't do that kind of serious stuff. But I could play the comic relief, like the fat guy in the lolly shop. You know what I mean? Because I kept saying to the kids, "Oh, they're going to go to the lolly shop now because it's filmed in Sovereign Hill."
Well, when we first heard about it, I joked to Selena saying, "And they'll probably film it in Sovereign Hill," and they did. And it's probably my only criticism of it is that it looks a bit neat and tidy, a bit clean. It doesn't look – I mean, if you've seen Deadwood, I mean, the streets were just awash with you know, blood and water. Yeah.
Gold Rush would have been filthy. Ballarat would have been a lot dirtier than that.
Maybe
they weren't allowed to dirty it up.
Yeah, that's right. We're coming to film. Can we dirty it up? No. We're going to open up on Thursday, so it has to be nice and clean. They should have just, you know, gone down and squirted mud everywhere and dust everywhere and had a lot more mud in the street and, you know. But besides that, I give it top marks. And it's not it's only like three or four episodes in or something.
Four episodes,
And the Colin Fruiter is in there as well.
Your mate Mark Mitchell, he's sort of playing a slightly comic role, which is funny. He was good, he was good.
No, he's very good at that sort of stuff. Yeah, good on him.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
it did bring me back to Sovereign Hill because every time my European cousins come out, my nephews and nieces come out from my, you know, my twin brother's kids, the Swiss kids.
Yeah,
we take them to Sovereign Hill. And they love it. The first time I took them, I said, "This is just Ballarat. It's not a theme park." Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that's a classic. It's a little bit dated here, kids. That's a classic. But we were there once, and there was some Asian tourists, some Chinese tourists, and we were doing the panning for gold. And then one of them said, "Gold! I found gold!" And I was like, "Oh no, this is like history repeating itself." I was looking at all the Aussie bogans, like, "Come on, guys, come on, we're not." We don't need to start a riot. We're not in the gold rush. Settle down.
Yeah, Dave, follow us back to our car when we've got a bit of gold going on. Yeah.
But your brother used to work there,
Neil, my brother, used to work there. He used to be the manager of the – hope he doesn't mind me. I know he's a regular listener to the show. I hope he doesn't mind me telling the story. But he used to – I think they would have days of the week where even as he was the manager of the hotel, he still had to dress up in period costume.
And, oh, fantastic.
So he would just wander around and do all the thing. And he said it was fine, but the kids got a bit embarrassed when he would turn up in period costume to pick him up from school.
In the horse and cart.
Horse and cart. Oh, Dad. Oh, you're not. But I think he actually enjoyed. I think he would actually go in and he became a role. He became principal of the school and he would go into the classroom and he would do.
Oh.
So it was like it was a real acting thing. So it would have been a really fun thing to do. So that's the thing about that dressing up stuff is he would wear it into work and wear it home again and. A bit embarrassing for the kids, you know.
Does he look like you?
We do look a bit like you. Well, we're brothers.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, we're not twins, but. So,
I'm sure some of the parents with the kids would go, "Gee, Glenn Robbins on Hard Times. Look, he's bloody dressing up in the ye olde costume wandering around."
When we did the comedy, here's something for nothing. When we did the comedy company Christmas show where I played Kenny Rogers and all the characters turned up, and Marianne Faye played Dolly Parton, all the characters turned up to a big dinner, all the characters meeting Conor Fruiter, Uncle Arthur. And my brother Neil played Uncle Arthur. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah. So he played Uncle Arthur. Because back in those days, you couldn't do a split screen or anything like that. So he was doing Uncle Arthur at the table. And so his acting skills are right up. His chops are really good.
So that's like Tom Hanks' brother. You know, Tom Hanks' brother just works with him doing all these stand-ins and stuff and stunts and stuff, his brother, because he looks like him.
Yeah, so there you go. So if you're thinking about, you know, maybe getting an acting job, maybe think about heading up to Sovereign Hill and doing the thing, you know.
Oh,
doing,
why
doing
not?
The dress up? Yeah, why not? That,
and the pie shop's good. I got to recommend the pie shop's very good. My mother-in-law used to live in Dalesford, used to go there, and they would let locals in for free just to get the pies. So they had a bit of a deal at the gate. Just getting a pasty. All right. It's quite expensive. Sovereign Hill.
It's quite expensive.
Yes. But it's worth it. I have to say it's worth it. Because you can go on these – when we went, you go down a mine and stuff. They actually discovered an actual mine below the historical theme park. And you go down in there on the little train. It's fantastic. Maybe I should get a job there. Let's get a lolly maker. I like to be one of those guys make the lollies.
What happened to Dave O'Neill? Oh, well, you know.
Interesting story.
He's the lolly man up at Sovereign Hill. And, he puts on a bit of a show. He does a bit of stand-up. Look, he can be a little bit – he gets a bit blue with the kids, and that's – you know, there's been a few complaints and doing inappropriate things with lollies. But besides that, I think he's doing quite well.
He loves it. He loves the country lifestyle.
Oh, he loves it. Just don't ask for boiled lollies because it just gets a little bit an old man with boiled lollies and little kiddies around. It's just a little bit unfortunate.
Well, here comes the music. Oh, thank God.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Should have changed the theme to...
I would love that. I would love that. And then when people come up and they would say to you, because I know Scott Kahn, who was in Kids in the Kitchen, and people say to him, didn't you used to be Scott Kahn from Kids in the Kitchen? I reckon people will say to you, didn't you used to be Dave O'Neill? I'll be like this. I don't want to talk about that time of my life. I'm a lolly maker now. All right? This is what I do.
But you probably talk like that because you always have a lolly. You always have a lolly in your mouth.
No, I have no teeth after a few years. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not me. No, I'm not Dave O'Neill. No, I'm Dave Lolly Man.
I'm a lolly man. Just, I don't have a last name. I'm a lolly man.
Okay. Somehow related, and we have to work out how they're related. And shall we get the topics, please?
Let's get them.
Sam.
Appetite and dimmed lighting.
I could see Sam at a historical theme park, you know, like as a school mom, maybe, telling people off and stuff.
Do you think she would? She'd be
good. Should be good.
I think she'd be encouraging, but you would know who was in charge in the room. I can't imagine her giving the strap or anything like that. I was just thinking back at Sovereign Hill. I wonder if they did anything up there in terms of you know, because back in that day, that would have been, you know.
Oh, strapping the kids.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was it dim lights?
Dimmed lights.
Oh, an appetite. Dimmed lights is funny because we've got those switches. That's a real luxury, though, isn't it? We didn't have that when we were kids, did we?
No, I was just thinking we had really sort of lumpy sort of switches that.
Yeah, those yes.
They're big lumpy ones, and when did the dimmers come in? Probably early 80s, maybe.
80s. I remember going to a girl's house and they had them, and it was really posh. I reckon it was one of those signs. You know, when you grew up in the suburbs, there were signs of someone a little bit posher than you, and I reckon dim lights was one of them.
Yeah.
I also reckon, I remember my brother went out with a girl whose dad claimed he invented those orange bollards on the road. You know those orange, like those things they put in traffic.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of money and bought this big house in Mitcham, and it was two stories. Because none of my friends had two-story houses. They were always flat.
Were they the bollards houses that you filled up with water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was clever because you can take the water out and make them light and then put the water in to make them heavy. So I think that would be true. Yeah.
He invented
absolutely
them.
Absolutely.
And he also had a parking meter factory in Little Rock Arkansas. I remember just going over there, and I would talk to him about his. Oh, I found it intriguing. This guy was
absolutely
doing this business, but they had a posh sort of house, an old, and it was two stories, and they had dimmed lights that could dim, pretty cool.
Well, I guess the first time you really came across it was when you go to the cinema and you sit there while the ads are on and the lights are bright and you're going, I don't want to eat my ice cream while everyone's looking at me. Can you dim the lights? And I reckon in the cinema they had the slowest dimmers ever. You go, yes. Are they going yet? Are they going? I think they're going. Oh, this is good. Oh, no, they're not going. Oh, they are going. Here they go. Here we go.
Yeah, we're darkness.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they open the curtain, then they close the curtain, then they open the curtain, then there'll be a few more ads, and then you go, oh, we're in dark now. I know.
Because, you're trying to put your arm around Sandra. You know?
That's right. Yeah. Like, and you're really getting into the Jaffers or, you know.
The popcorn.
Yeah. And you, when people are looking at you, you go, look at that guy over there. God, he's really getting that popcorn into his face, isn't he? Whereas in the dark, you know.
When I go to the movies, before lockdown, I would occasionally go during the day by myself. You got to time it just as the lights are dimming and walk in. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to be the guy by yourself sitting there.
Then again,
I mean, everyone's looking at their phones anyway. But
yeah, that's true. But I went to the movies once by myself, and it made the papers. Someone wrote it up in the paper. Kel Knight couldn't get a date. And it was just like, so I went to the movies by myself. I'm not hurting anybody. Wasn't it like a pornographic cinema or anything like that? It was a normal movie.
Normal.
Having said that.
Was it Cars or something? Was it some kid's
movie?
No, it was. That's true.
That's true. I remember because I thought, I really want to see that new cartoon about cars. And I had nothing to do. So I walked down there and I did the trick, which was, oh, I've got a couple of hours to kill. What have you got on?
Oh, now? Yeah.
And they mentioned a couple of art houses. I'm going, no. What's on right now? I want to walk in right now. She goes, well, we've just got the movie Cars. Oh, that'll do. So I go in and I walk in, and it was. I shouldn't have done it. It was obviously a cinema full of kids, and here's a weird old bloke up the back, you know, by himself.
That's all right.
No.
I think that's all right. I remember going to the Jam Factory, which is a big cinema complex, by myself. When I was on Nova and these teenagers came up to me, they said, wow, you're Dave from Nova, aren't you? I went, yeah, yeah. And they go, and the guy, one of them goes, who are you going to the movies with? And I said, you guys.
Yep, going with you.
I had to say, look at my age. You just go by yourself sometimes, guys. You know,
anyway, you go.
I'll come later.
Well, the life, if you work 9 to 5, it's never going to happen. But without the working hours that we have, you know, working at night, you know, working on different schedules, you do find yourself with a free afternoon. And you go, now that we're coming out of lockdown, in time we'll be able to go back to the cinema. But it's great. You just go there. Here's my tip. Even if you don't like the film, you get a beautiful little snooze in there, and it's just you know, I do that thing where I close my eyes and I go, if this is a good script, I'll be able to follow it with my eyes closed, like a radio play. And you just
it's true.
I go, I watch with one eye, I watch with one eye, and then the other one. It's just the most beautiful.
That's
script.
So true. So and you know, I also enjoy the ice cream. I always get an ice.
I always get it. Yeah, you get a choc top. You get
absolutely.
Yeah, boysenberry. I go for the boysenberry because I don't see the boysenberry anywhere else.
Very good. Yeah, I like boysenberry, but often chocolate or depends what they've got.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? I find that sometimes with series, if I'm watching one at home, I have to go in the car. I sometimes plug my phone into the car and I don't watch it. I just listen to it, and you can follow it.
Yeah, you know, I've done that.
TV series.
It's fun. It's good. Yeah. If it's a good script, it will do that. But anyway. Unless the dialogue says, I need to show you this. That's very interesting.
Well, yeah,
but what if
dangerous.
I show you this?
You've got to pull over.
You've got to pull over and have a look.
We don't recommend that. It's not, you know.
When else do you – I mean, I know there's the trick that you do, and you can do this, but your kids are too old for this, but there's the trick when you're putting young kids to bed and they've got a light dimmer on it. And you go, okay, you're going to blow the light out. And if it's in the center of the room, it's great. You say, blow the light, and they blow, and it dims right down.
Oh, that's a good one.
It dims right down, and then you turn it back. No, you didn't blow hard enough, you know, and then you dim it right down. Oh, no, one really, really big one. And then they blow it down. Oh, you got it that time. Anyway.
And then when they get to about 6, they're like, he lied about blowing the lights out. You can't blow the lights out.
Oh, no, that's a good one. And the other one,
that's
which
a
is
good one.
when Santa, you do talcum powder, Santa's been last night. That's the other. I only got two tricks for the kids. Is you walk out, when kids come out of your house Christmas morning, was Sandy here? He was. And you put talcum powder around your feet and you walk outside. There's his steps. Anyway, it's all in my
book. One time I got some frost out of the freezer and threw it in the backyard and said, look, he has been. Look, the reindeers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's good. Where else?
I wouldn't do it now. I just say, yeah, there's nothing under the tree, guys. You got a coupon on your app for some gaming thing. Off you go.
Well, the trick is you need to keep on believing in Santa as long as you can, because once you stop, you got to start buying your parents' presents. You got to start buying presents.
That's right. And, Santa's real. Yeah. Santa's real, kids. You got, as I say to my kids, if you want to receive, you've got to believe. Yep. That's what we say. Yep. All right. Well, dim lights. What else can you say about dim lights?
Restaurants are notorious for dimmed lights, aren't they? And unless you're eating in a fast food restaurant where the lights are always bright,
terrible!
Or but
and you'd have to argue that those places could do with dimmed lights, so you can't see the actual terrible burger you're about to
eat. I agree. Yeah, so that's interesting. That may have something to do with the answer. That's interesting. I know
there was a restaurant for a while where you could eat in the dark.
In the dark, all the way to have night vision glasses on. Yeah. So they could see what you were doing. What was the idea of that? So you, because in the when you can't see, that you enjoy taste more. Is it does it heighten your taste? It probably does.
Well, yeah, but I mean, no, I don't like that idea. That's no good.
No, I wouldn't want to do it. But I would imagine there'd be a bit of wandering hands going on underneath the table, and especially with a group, you know. What about? I tell you where else you have them. You have a light dimmer on your dashboard of your car.
Oh yeah,
because you can dim your lights right. That's the lights for all your meters and everything. You can dim it right down, or you can dim it right up. I'm middle of the road sort of guy.
Midway, I'm midway.
You don't want too bright. You don't want to catch your eye. You don't want too low because you want to know what's going on. So that you know when you're sitting down doing all your knobs. You know, setting up your radio, setting up your time, setting up your lights. You go, okay, yeah, about midway. That's good.
Do you think there's something sinister when people dim the lights? You know, when they say, "We'll just dim the lights." Often that's in scenes where people are getting hypnotized, or we'll just dim those lights, and they dim the lights.
It's a sign that something's going on.
Yeah.
But didn't someone used to do a stand-up routine about that light dimmers were when unattractive people wanted to have sex or something about them.
Yeah, probably.
Because the old light dimmer, you know, came in pretty handy whenever you were, you know, if you were making a move or whatever. You obviously, you don't do it under bright light. And, I mean, I don't want to talk about your sexual life, but, I mean, having sex again, I don't want to talk about mine either, but I don't want that. Everyone's got that image in their head right now who's listening to this podcast, David and Neil and Glenn Robbins naked. Let's just get that out of your head right now. But, I think the light of the television is always pretty good. The light of the television throws a coloured light, so that's a good trick for you. Yeah. Except
we don't have a TV in the bedroom, so the kids might walk into the lounge room. You know, so.
Yeah. But the old, we've got. Have you got dimmers on your bedside table, on the lights?
No, that's like a hotel room. That's like a hotel room.
Yeah, no, we've got the dimmers, and let's just leave it right there, shall we? But
dim the lights.
Dim the light. Skip the light, tango, whatever that saying is.
Is that a sign that something's going to happen when the lights dim, or?
I just think you've got to give it some attention. I think the two extremes are candlelight and fluorescent. Your fluorescent end of the, as soon as you walk into a restaurant and there is a fluorescent, you go, this is not a good restaurant. You walk into a restaurant and there's candlelight or simulated candlelight, you're going, I'm interested. What were we going to say?
I was going to say, okay, so dimming lights is a sign. In the bedroom, there's something maybe happening. Is there a sign that nothing's going to happen? Because I remember doing radio and there was a newsreader, Rebecca. She told us this on air. And when she didn't want anything to happen, she would put a wall of pillows between her and her husband down the middle of the bed.
Wall of pillows?
Yeah. Like the Berlin Wall down the middle of the bed. Just rack off.
Well, I mean, when you think of a wall, there's one part for a man that could probably find a gap and work its way through.
That's how the Berlin Wall came down in 89. Well, dim lights, I think let's do appetite because...
All right, sure, appetite. Don't you, I mean, seriously, don't you love having an appetite? Don't you get excited when you're hungry? The idea, there's a great feeling you get when you know a good meal is coming and you are hungry, you have an appetite. It's just the perfect world where you go, I'm about to be sated. I'm about to have a beautiful meal and I'm hungry. I mean, I reckon my appetite is most heightened when, for some reason, when I go for a surf or I'm around salt water at the beach or something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I could eat absolutely a mountain of food.
Absolutely. You
know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also struggle around a buffet, meaning it's just too many choices.
Too much free food too. It's just like
I'm so excited. I mean, I've been lucky in YouTube where you work on a film crew and they have a buffet.
Oh.
And it's just ridiculous. And I think there's a thing called the buffet effect. Have you heard about this?
No, but I picture it's like the Gruen transfer, isn't it? It's where do you go into a trance?
Yes. I think that if you only have a selection of one food, you know when you are sated. You know when you've had enough.
Oh, that's interesting.
But when there's a buffet, your brain gets tricked. And because it can have more, it will take more. So it's a bit like it's making hay while the sun shines, I guess. So and that's what life is. I mean, you know, you used to be able to just buy petrol and then you'd walk in to pay for your petrol. Now you walk in to buy petrol. There's 28 varieties of chocolate right there in front of you.
Oh, terrible.
So
chips.
Temptation to eat is just everywhere. No wonder, you know, we have
No wonder we're fat.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, do you remember when buffets were big in the, must have been the 80s and the 90s, when there was like in Melbourne we had Smorgies and then we also had Sizzler. And, you know, the food wasn't great, but people used to line up around the block just to get in there.
Yeah, because it was all you can eat. There was a sign out the front, all you can eat. Oh. So you just, there was an ice cream machine that was just, you pull the handle, how much more ice cream do you want? It just keeps on coming. You could lie back and put your mouth underneath it and drink it like a, you know.
That's where they had the food poisoning incident that shut one of them down, was the ice cream machine. Because soft serve, you got to maintain that soft serve ice cream machine. And they were letting the teenagers do it. And the investigator, I remember, just said, you can't put teenagers in charge of that kind of thing because they don't.
I know with McDonald's, often we'll go for a soft serve, so to speak. Oof, and they're always cleaning the machine. They're very good.
Oh, I mean,
they're very good at McDonald's.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got to keep them. Got to keep them clean, those soft serve machines. But with those, I remember they did a sketch on. Might have been Fast Forward or Full Frontal, and they did the all you can eat restaurant, and they had a chocolate mousse room. Where you could just, I just remember Peter Moon coming out covered in chocolate mousse in his undies. Go, enjoy the chocolate mousse room. It's just a room with mousse.
It's so true, though. That would be, oh, God. So, you know that I think appetite is like 70 or 80% smell. So if you can't.
Oh, is it?
Yes. So you, appetite or taste, sorry, taste, not appetite.
Yeah.
So if you can't smell something. Which is interesting because that's a symptom of COVID, isn't it? You stop tasting things. So maybe it's got something to do with your nasal area.
Imagine if I got COVID, I'd lose all this weight because I can't bloody smell anything or taste.
Yeah. When's the worst thing? When's the worst time for you to get hungry? When do you hate getting hungry? Late at night? I don't like getting hungry late at night because
it's terrible.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it's terrible. Kieran says, you were funny. You were saying that you get happy when you know a meal. She says, I get very antsy when I know. Like we've been getting food occasionally delivered, which we never used to do. I always used to go and get it because I'm old school. If you want a pizza, you order it, you go pick it up yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're guaranteed it coming hot and you know what's in there. There's no mistakes. But now with COVID, like, oh, we'll just get it delivered. So we got Uber Eats and we got the chicken shop delivered the other day.
Yeah.
And and I'm so hungry. But by the time the kids all choose their stuff, it gets to about 7 o'clock. I'm like, I'm starving. No. Come on. Choose your thing. What are you getting? And I get very antsy. And then again, 40 minutes goes by and this guy rings over. He goes, I can't find your address. Where are you?
It becomes a thing. And then, And that's
you're looking at that little blue dot, like, and then it just stops. The guy and he goes, he's on a bike. You're like, oh no, he's on a bike. This poor
no,
guy.
He's pulled over and he's eating your chips. That's what he's doing. Yeah.
I feel sorry for those guys. It's just
And their line's the thing, because you don't really know what you're getting. You kind of do, but if you get it wrong and you've got a really good appetite ready to go, and then you have to go to the fridge and start looking for something else, and then you go, it's really unsatisfying.
Do you ever go to, if things do go wrong, that you can just go to the fridge or the cupboard and have that and go, well, that wasn't too bad, I'll just have that. I have a go-to.
Oh, well, like a lot of people, you have breakfast for dinner.
Oh, okay. Right.
So you have some cereal and you have a bit of toast and you go, okay, well, you know, that will, because I mean, breakfast, I love oats and I love, you know, so, you know, oats with some yogurt on it, you know, with a few blueberries, I got to say, I'm doing that probably every night. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Every night?
Yep, because I just.
You're like Kieran. Kieran has muesli nearly every night. She loves them.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more of a peanut butter toast guy. But I would never really have, unless a meal falls away or it's not what I expected, that's my go-to if it's not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that's
peanut
right.
Peanut butter toast. Then you sort it.
Because there's definitely
a market for breakfast at night. Someone should bring out, you know, in America they bought out Pepsi AM, I think it was, and it was Pepsi that you could drink before 9 a.m. Because a third of cola in America is consumed before 9 a.m.
Really?
Can you believe that? Yeah.
Oh, really?
People are drinking it at breakfast. Yeah.
Is there a drug that gets released by the body when you have food to make you feel good? Is it dopamine? No, it wouldn't be dopamine, surely.
Endorphins?
So I think it might be endorphins where you because you're being rewarded with food, your body goes, "This I'm going to make you feel good, so you'll get more of it." So there's,
there's no greater feeling. There's no greater feeling, sure. Food's one of the great things.
What's the longest you've gone without eating?
No, I fasted for a while, which I'm going to get back into because it actually helped me lose a bit of weight. So, like, early in the week, I would stop eating about... Because we have tea early because, you know, home, Kieran's home, the kid's home. We have tea about 5 or 6. I'd generally stop eating by 6:30, 7 at night, and then just... But before it gets to 7, I'll be sticking chocolate in my mouth and then just going, right... I'm not going to eat till 9 or, and I wouldn't eat till like 10 the next day. So that's the longest. I've never been stuck in a desert or anything.
I've never.
What about you?
Well, no, I've never been. I think I've probably got on some flights sometimes where you forget to have breakfast and then they don't serve anything on the flight and then you get to a place where you're starving and you don't want to eat the food at the airport and then you get to your hotel room and you order the biggest, you know, club sandwich or something. But I mean, that's first world stuff, isn't it? Because I was reading the other day, like 16% of the world is undernourished. You know, they're hungry
Hungry. Yeah,
hungry,
that's no good.
A quarter of India is hungry all the time.
Well, apparently a lot of Western people are never really hungry. We're never that hungry because never hungry.
Yeah. You're almost eating before you have an appetite. You're almost like you're cutting it off at the pass. You know? Don't ask me why I know this, but I do know it. But they did research and it must be the drug that gets released or the satisfaction that you get. Two cheeseburgers equals one orgasm.
What?
Yep.
What in terms of calories or endorphins?
I think so. So where that's why it must have been American research. It was probably done by a burger company.
I mean, what would you rather, Glenn?
Well, I think what you would rather is to have a cheeseburger while you're having sex. I mean, seriously. What are you doing? I'm just having a quarter pounder while we do this. That's offensive. Try it. Trust me, it's really good.
Would have preferred a Whopper, but anyway. Old junior burger over there.
No, I'm more of a quarter pounder, but anyway, I'm a quarter pounder man.
Happy meal. Well, let's have some thinking music. I think we've talked enough. I don't know. Appetite. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I have a problem with appetite because I'm fat. So, whereas my twin brother is skinnier than you. So, as someone said, we are from the same egg. We are practically the same person. So, there's absolutely no reason for me to be fat. I can't say I've got big bones or it's in my genes. My parents weren't fat. So it's just eating is a
problem. Is food a comfort for you? Do you think maybe
definitely.
It's... Yeah, definitely. It's a comfort for all of us, but maybe it's an extra comfort for me. Maybe it's your stress relief. Mm. Maybe it's your...
I think so. Yeah, I think lockdown hasn't helped. In Melbourne, we've been locked down for over, whatever days. Like, it comes to the end of a hard day of, homeschooling or whatever, and you're going to reward yourself.
You got to go, and it's the light at the end of the tunnel where you go, at least I've got that to look forward to tonight, and
exactly.
whether it's a glass of wine or whatever. But, people will know from this podcast, we both light up when
we talk about food.
We talk about food, but,
I could eat a lot less.
That sketch from Monty Python where...
the guy eats all the food.
One more wafer, whatever. Yeah, yeah. We could have food glorious. Oh, well,
yes,
that was
food.
Oliver.
We had that last week. We had to talk about that last week.
A food fight?
There's a food fight in... what movie is that? Is that
Mad World?
Animal House.
There's nothing with dimmed lights. Anything with lighting.
Food fights a waste of food.
I get really upset. When people do things like, we're going to do a stunt on TV where we throw eggs at cars, you're going, that's a waste of eggs.
I absolutely agree.
It's a dreadful waste of really good
food. And if
you've
seen what pain a chicken has been through to get that egg out, it's, they're in pain, but... I went to a Morrissey concert once. He's a famous singer and he's a vegan, and he showed a film of a chicken laying an egg. And then he said to the audience, "Do you feel bad for the chicken now?" But it made me want to have eggs. So
there you go. So I don't feel bad. I just feel hungry. Having said that, when you see food people eating in a movie, it does make... When you see people eating in ads, you want to eat, don't you? It's just...
A lot of people on Facebook said, and after our episode of chips... they felt like hot chips.
You do.
One guy went to the fish and chip shop.
You do.
Up.
And we played an ad with that sizzling sound. And I listened to it back and I went, I totally agree.
Absolutely.
Why don't we? Okay. Do you reckon? Here's what I think. I reckon your appetite is a different voice in your head. I reckon there's you and there's your appetite. I reckon your appetite talks to you.
Yes.
So why don't we do a role play? Yep. Where there's a guy sitting at home late at night and his appetite starts to talk to him, asking him for some food. So how do we?
Okay.
I don't know how we. So
well,
I don't know
you
how we
play the
that.
Guy and just you just talk out
I'll
loud.
I'll be the guy.
You just talk out loud because you're at home by yourself.
Home by yourself and appetite.
I'll be appetite.
Start. So I guess we just need some gurgling noises, Sam.
I think he's watching TV. He's watching maybe.
Oh, he's watching TV. So we've got TV in the
background.
He's
watching. You know, I don't know. What do you watch late at night? Late Line or. Rage. Yeah. You used to watch in the ABC.
Does your stomach make a noise when it's really hungry?
It can
be really embarrassing when you're with someone. Someone goes, was that your stomach that made that noise? Anyway, so maybe a bit of stomach noise. Okay.
You're sitting there watching TV.
I'll sit there watching TV and maybe I'll hear that noise and then appetite will start talking to me. Okay, here we go.
Okay, all right.
Straight out, Tony, with the United States and China representing nearly two-thirds of all the emissions in the world. Whatever the United States does with its legislation, and it's moving at a pace, as you can see, whatever it does
off the bed soon.
Will really dictate to the world.
Yeah.
Canada has put its
had a good night.
Not bad.
Who's that?
This is appetite. This is your appetite talking. Why don't we have a little bit of a snack? You're relaxing in front of TV. Your wife's asleep. Just a little bit of a snack. Come on, a little bit of a snack.
Yeah, right, all right. Well, let's just play it safe. How about a bit of toast? A nice little toast.
No, you're better than that. No one's watching. It's just you and me. No.
Yeah, okay. Well, what then? There's a bit of leftover.
What else you got? Open the fridge.
What have we got there? We've got a good bit of ham there. We've got a bit of leftover spaghetti. Just the pasta. There's no sauce, so we could.
That was Family Feud to be. Ba-bow.
Yeah.
Why don't you? It's a bit late.
If you go to bed with a full stomach, apparently that's when you put on weight.
No, that's not true.
I think
No, that's not
true. It's not true. It's not
no,
true.
I'm appetite. I know about stuff. I'm a weight loss expert. That's not true. That's
not true. What do you feel like? You've got all the answers.
Pizza.
Oh, I'm not going to get in the car. No. There's I'm not going to. There's one in the freezer. I'm not getting that out. That would be a thing. It would make noise. Yeah.
You know what?
What?
Okay, you know, drive through. Just go to the drive through. You don't have to get out then.
It's
just
10
put a jumper
o'clock
on.
At night. What would you get with this time of night?
Plenty of drive-thrus are open. You ever heard of McDonald's or Hungry Jack's or KFC or Red Rooster? All these places are open. They cater to people like you.
I'm wearing pajamas. The guys are going to pass judgment on me driving through. Look, I don't want to do that. No.
You're weak.
Okay. You're weak. What else? Is there anything else? Yeah.
Well, look in the freezer. Look, what's in the freezer? Oh, come on, let's get there. Any oven fries?
There's an old plum pudding in there. Oh, there's old bit of frozen chicken curry. Drumsticks there. There's some peas. Do you want some peas?
Drumsticks. Are we talking like a like an ice cream drumstick?
Chicken drumsticks. Frozen.
Any Cornettos or Magnums? Talk about.
There's no.
Bubble O'Bill?
Look, there's a tub of ice cream, but you can't have ice cream this late at night.
Yeah, what flavour?
What's the three of them in a row?
Neapolitan.
Neapolitan. Yeah, no, you don't want Neapolitan.
Oh, yeah. You'd love that. You'd love that.
Listen,
that
I reckon, have a piece of toast. Have a bit of toast. That,
you got any sprinkles? Get them out. No one's gonna know.
I'm putting a bit of toast in the toaster now, and that will just quiet you down to. And then I promise in the morning, we'll go whole hog with a big breakfast. But right now, it's just a bit of toast with a bit of Vegemite. And I've got to be honest, I haven't got any butter, so it's just gonna have to be toast with straight Vegemite on it.
All right, granddad. Yeah. Wow.
So does that make you a little bit happier?
No. You really pissed me off. So, no good at all. The US legislation is before Congress. If you now
sit down with the government and say, this is the US scheme. You know what? I'm not that hungry. I can satisfy myself in other ways. Yep.
No, you're hungry.
Yeah. Sexual appetite. Are you there?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Oh, no, come on. No, don't bring him into this. You're going to have some toast with some jam and peanut butter. Get out of here.
I'm alone. If I do that.
Turn on the computer.
I'm turning it on now as we speak.
Wake up the wife. This is awful. Stick to your toast. Wow, that was amazing.
Wow.
I didn't know the appetites fight each other.
Look, I think sexual appetite and appetite, I think sexual appetite is always going to win. He's always going to win, isn't he? Good on him.
Well, there's a weight loss technique. Weight loss technique. Every time you feel like a packet of chips, not always available to everyone. Anyway.
Wasn't there that joke where the guy went to the cinema? Oh, this is a bad joke, but he went to the movies and he put a hole in the bottom of the.
In the popcorn.
And he put his. Penis into the bottom of the popcorn. I don't know what the joke was, but
I can't remember it either.
I can't hear, but the girl was injured. She couldn't get that last bit of popcorn out or something. I don't know. Okay. I reckon this is.
Does dim lights increase your appetite? Like they do that in restaurants, they dim the lights. But then again, why at McDonald's is it bright? So
I reckon it's 50-50. I reckon it's either increases or decreases. What are you going to say? You're going to say it increases your appetite?
I think it increases.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say it decreases your appetite. Because dimmed lights decrease your appetite. And you're saying dim lights increase your appetite.
All right, Sam, what is the answer?
Dim lighting reduces your appetite for food. Research finds that brighter lights increase stress, which can stimulate your appetite.
Wow, so that's why Macca's and Hungry
that's
Jack's
why
are so bright.
So bright.
Wow.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
You wonder why a restaurant would have dimmed lights. But then again, with the dimmed lights, it probably makes you savour the food much more because you're, as with like that, it's making you react in terms of what you're seeing, but what you're feeling in your mouth. But that's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. It's, well, you learn something new every day.
So here's the tip then. Here's the tip. If it's late at night and you get a little hungry, try turning the lights off and maybe having a chat to sexual appetite.
Hey, I'm back, Glenn. I'm back. What are we doing now? Finish up this podcast. We've got things to do, mate. Finish up.